Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski. And the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final. The game and the series, it ends with a 4-2 loss to the Los Angeles Angels, and the Brewers just got swept in this three-game set. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios as the Brewers fall. Tim Allen. And a little nervous time for some Brewers fans, I would think. I would think that we'll work our way through this. How does that sound? That's what we're going to do tonight as the Brewers fall. And they've suddenly lost four of their last five games. They'll enjoy an off day tomorrow. The good news, they can't lose tomorrow. Well, later today. And then it's three in L.A., to face the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. That's they've got their hands full here. Six games out in the L.A. area, and they certainly dug themselves a hole in this six-game road trip. Want to get your reaction at 414-799-1250 as they fall in this one 4-2. Brandon Woodruff, I'll say this, that he did just enough. I mean, I love the innings that he filled out because they needed that. They needed that after a somewhat short start yesterday. And Brandon Woodruff, just shy of a quality start. So if the offense could have done a little bit more, maybe, you know, we'd still be playing ball, or maybe the Brewers are locking down a win with Josh Hader. Now, that's the good news. Josh Hader, ready to go. Deploy him the way you want at Dodger Stadium. But in terms of these three younger dudes, Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff, it was a nice, decent outing. I shouldn't say nice, but a decent outing from Brandon Woodruff. Jeff Orlowski is here, Nick Bodie as well, as the Brewers fall. Just a question would be, are you a little bit nervous? That would be a question that I think there's certain degrees of being nervous. I'm a little bit nervous. I will say that. It made me feel a little bit better, despite the loss, as we welcome in Jeff Orlowski. It made me feel a little bit better with Woody's start tonight.
Yeah, six strong innings. You know, he did give up four, but only four hits. He only walked one guy, and he had seven punch-outs. You know, the Brewers, for the entire game, only walked one batter. We talked about that last night, and, you know, that was your big pet peeve. It was the amount of walks and leadoff walks, and they got that corrected today. So it was better. You know, the four runs, obviously, you know, that was painful. But, you know, today was a lack of offense.
And the entire series, guys, and this isn't sour grapes, the reality of it, cheap, chintzy, soft contact, bleeders, they did not deserve to sweep this series offensively, the Angels. I'll tell you that right now. Strange things happen in the game of baseball, but I don't recall a series that had that many. Maybe there was a Cubs series a few years ago that it was just nothing but just flares and little bloop base hits and infield singles and, you know, guys, you know, getting hits off the end of the bat. Now, again, Christian Yelich had one of those today for an RBI base hit. He knocked in both runs for the crew. But that's the reality of it. Baseball is a weird thing sometimes, and this entire series, the Angels, yes, you did have some well-struck baseballs. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't 100%, you know, flair base hits. But I haven't seen this many in a three-game set in a long time. I've been doing this show a long time. And that is just the way the ball is going to bounce sometimes. Brewers may have a series that they sweep, that they get a lot of cheap base hits as well. But the Angels ought to thank their lucky stars for just some well-placed baseballs, without a doubt. First inning in this one, Kane did lead off with another single. Kane getting on base at like a 400 clip this year, guys. 395 OBP last year. He does. He just keeps keeping on, man. It is awesome. The thing about Lorenzo Kane, he is not used to or doesn't. If it were his choice, he wouldn't be the leadoff guy. Let's put it that way. But man, is he good at it?
Wow. He sure is. He sure is.
He is. But Yelich flew out to left after that, and Brawny hits into a double play. In fact, after a couple of ABs tonight, Brawny was 0 for 10 in this series. Did end up with a base hit. That could have been ruled an error as well. Did strike the ball pretty well in his third at-bat. Woody, a clean first inning. Travis Shaw, here's where some more bad luck happens. He's hitting the hand contusion. And had to be removed from the game. It didn't look good early for Travis Shaw when he was hit by that pitch.
No, it didn't. You know, they were checking, and it looked like he, didn't have feeling in all of his fingers and everything. X-rays are negative, so it's just a bruised hand. So, he escaped serious injury, which is good, and he helped his on-base percentage because he hasn't been hitting anything. So, you know, it was a good way for him to get on base.
Moose to third, HP enters the game and plays second base. It was HP that took that base right there from Shaw. Shaw actually stayed in, I think, for a pitch or two. HP was thrown out trying to steal second, and then you get a little more bad luck after HP has gunned down trying to steal second base. Grandal, a home run taken away from him. That's the second time the Angels have done that in this series as well. Sort of a bad luck series, I will say that. Woodruff gives up a two-run double, I should say a double with two outs in the bottom of the second inning, but nothing after that to the third. We're scoreless. Here's where all the action happened. Brewers got on the board to take the lead in the third inning. Ben Gamel reaches on a hit-by-pitch. Orlando Arcia reaches on error with two outs. It was Christian Yelich that came through with that RBI base hit to give the Brewers a one-zip lead at that time. Woody, all sorts of trouble in the bottom of the third inning. You may recall the game against the Cubs in which the Brewers were up 8-0, where Brandon Woodruff should have just put it on cruise control. That should have been a runaway victory, but the Cubs, lashed him for four runs in the inning. He gives up four in this particular situation in the bottom of the third, hit by pitch, walk, single, single, single. Plates a couple of runs, plates three runs, and then he gets a double play ground ball to plate the fourth, and then a strikeout to end that inning. So it was 4-1, and it stays that way through the fourth inning. Brewers did load the bases in the top of the fourth with two outs, couldn't get a run home. Woody settles back in, strikes out a couple of batters in that bottom of the fourth inning. Six Ks to this point for Brandon Woodruff. More opportunities by the board for the Brewers in the fifth. Couple of runners on with just one out. HP hits into a double play. Woody, 1-2-3, bottom half. And in the sixth inning, it is still remaining 4-1. Both teams go 1-2-3. Woody is set down. After he goes 1-2-3 in the bottom half of that sixth inning, 11 consecutive batters after that four-run output, the eruption in the third inning. He finished well, guys, and that's a great sign. He was still throwing hard, too, 97 toward the end of his outing.
Yeah, he still had gas in the tank. And, like you said, with that four-run inning, it was a slow death. Hit by pitch, walk, single, single, single. it wasn't like he sat there and was getting barreled up and getting knocked around a park. It was just a slow death. And
outside of Tommy La Stella, man, I don't think anybody really struck a ball super hard. And if they did, it was very few of them in the entire series. But, again, I can't blame the pitching in this baseball game. You can't blame the pitching. Brewers offense has got to get some crooked numbers going. They do, and they will. They certainly will. 8-5 after the loss today. Just to finish up, Christian Yelich, his second RBI. He knocks in a run in the second inning. Arcia had doubled with one out, moved over on a sacrifice fly. Junior Guerra, a scoreless bottom of the seventh inning. A couple of strikeouts there. Getting late into the eighth inning. Now a two-out walk in the eighth by Grandal. Excuse me. In the bottom half, Jacob Barnes, a couple of outs, and then it was Alex Claudio to come in through one pitch to get the final out, and the Brewers muster up nothing in the ninth. And there's your game recap. A little forward thinking as you head into the off day and you head into Dodger Stadium. That is challenging. That is going to be a lot of fun. Maybe this is what the Brewers need after losing 4 of 5. Little forward thinking about that weekend series against the LA Dodgers, sort of a rematch of the NLCS. Going to be a lot of fun. Forward thinking brought to you by Forward Financial Partners. Check out more at ffpwi.com. 414-799-1250. Are you nervous? Because I am just a little bit. I was more nervous about about Brandon Woodruff than anything else, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not that nervous. You know, yesterday it was a problem with, you know, obviously you had Peralta give up 6 in the first. Brewers battle back, take the lead, and then the bullpen just, you know, kind of imploded. Today the bullpen played great, and they pitched great. And not one walk allowed by the bullpen, but you couldn't hit the ball.
No, but that's what happens, though, when you get a deeper start, and that was my concern. You and I talked on the On Deck show about, you know, what people are most interested in this baseball team throughout the 2019 season. One of my things at the top of the list was getting deeper into games with three young pitchers that got to figure it out. I was listening to Bill Schroeder on the TV call. He used that term, too. They got to figure it out. They got to figure out how to get out of jams. They got to figure out how to stop the bleeding. They got to figure out how to get an out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a couple of runs in and, you know, three runs in before an out was recorded.
I know.
In that third inning.
I know. You know, to me it goes back, and I don't think enough pitchers now pitch to contact like they used to. And so I think you're getting elevated pitch counts earlier in games on guys now more than what happened in the past. And I think that's part of the problem, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why you do see more appearances, more innings getting thrown by the bullpen than ever before. You know, it's not just the whole bullpenning mentality and strategy now. I think these guys – you know, there's a lot of guys that go in there trying to put up double-digit strikeouts every day, or that, you know, and either command issues or they're just trying to nibble on the corners. But, you know, there's very few pitchers that can sit there and get two pitch outs on a consistent basis.
I stumble through life with ways to figure out how to do things. I do. And I'm not a big excuse guy. You know that. I'm not in working with me for several years now, Jeff. You know that.
Right.
I use the term, just figure it out, man. Whatever you got to do. I'm just so sick of excuses. It's the walks. We talked about it last night. Okay, you guys got to figure it out. This I'm a little more patient with on the starting pitchers. I'm a little more patient with the guys that are younger, that it is going to take time to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I really am. And this is part of the growing pains that has this team competing and rebuilding at the same time. I continue to remind myself of that. This goes with the territory. They're the ones that decided to go with three young pitchers in a five-man rotation.
Right.
Is that a good idea? Three seems like a lot to me. It does.
And 60%.
It doesn't really happen with a lot of teams that have expectations to go to the World Series. It happens with teams that are like the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Those are the types of teams that it happens with. So
The tanking teams.
Okay. I applaud the effort of confidence in your young guys, a tremendous amount of talent with those three guys. But this, I will tell you that, this was a huge outing in my world for Brandon Woodruff and these other two guys collectively.
Mm-hmm.
This had to happen.
Yes.
This had to happen, Jeff. The six innings, I'm okay. I'm probably the most okay with this loss than I am in most losses because of that point right there. Brandon Woodruff getting the six innings is something to move forward with.
Yeah. It's a definite star in the right column. You know, no matter that he gave up the four runs, it's something for him to build on. He knows now that he can go six. So next time, maybe, you know, obviously they're, you know, in the starting pitcher's mind, they want to throw a complete game every time out. But we know that that's not going to happen. But, you know, it sets Woodruff up to sit there and consistently, you know, attempt to go deeper and deeper into games that he starts.
It was nice.
And like you said, with the three young pitchers starting in this rotation, you had to be crazy to think that Peralta, Burns, and Woody were all going to leave spring training and come up here and be Justin Verlander.
Agreed. I thought it was leaning toward a little crazy, considering the fact that all three would make the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking camp.
Yeah, I know. We talked about it down in Arizona a bunch.
I hand it to him, man. I really do. I applaud it. It's risky. And it's part of the reason. Now, I have no patience for walks out of the bullpen. That will just start right there. But it's part of the reason why the bullpen is scuffling a little bit is because there's no length in getting these guys to the middle of the game consistently.
Yeah.
I would consider down the line, if you did need to make a change, a veteran, just maybe look at a veteran, maybe within-house. Within the organization is fine. People talk about Adrian Hauser and how he is doing well at AAA, but I don't know. I'd seriously, if it continues, if they can't chew up innings, because it does have an impact on that bullpen. Craig Counsell made mention of that yesterday, that you go to your bullpen in the fourth inning. I mean, they're going to give up some runs. You're going to give up some runs. You go to your bullpen early. So despite the loss, not going crazy nervous, but I am a little nervous. I love the fact that Woody got through six, just shy of a quality start. That was you and I, Jeff, talked about that on the On Deck show. That was something to shoot for in this performance. And he came up just short.
Yeah.
799-1250, Vincent, our buddy and our correspondent in L.A., at Angels Stadium. What's happening, man? Your Angels got a sweep tonight.
Yeah, hey, I was surprised by that too, man. Like I said, I was here at the game, had my Brewers hat on, had my Angel jersey on because I got to keep it real, you know what
nice.
I mean? But it was bittersweet, man. I was getting excited for the Angels, and then I was getting mad when the Brewers, you know, just couldn't get it done. It was crazy. I was catching myself saying, what am I doing? Who am I rooting for here, you know? But I still got love for y'all, man. Hey, the Angels got that sweep, but hey, Brewers, I mean, in a way, kind of not panicky. It's still early in the season, like always, but every game counts. Every game counts. We already know that from last year, you know what I mean? But I would look at it this way. Pitching needs to improve, but you got to get their hiccups right now. We got to look at it this way. Would you want the Cubs to be sweeping you other than the Angels? I mean,
that's true.
I don't like being swept at all. I don't like it at all. I don't like it. That's why it's kind of bittersweet for me right now, because it's like, yeah, sweet. Oh, come on, guys. You gotta,
yeah.
I just thought the Angels were going to take two out of the three. But, hey, I will take it. Angels are still kind of in that last place area. You know, so you guys, Brewers, we're still in first place. You know, got to keep your heads up, and you got to focus on the next series, man. But, you know, you got to get these hiccups out of the way in the beginning. You don't want to go – you don't want to know what's going to happen, you know, what happened to the Cubs last year. You don't want that to happen to us this year. Say if we're in control and all we have to win is, like, three games and we screw up, that would be even more disappointing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey, Vincent, so, what was your vantage point in the park? Because Phil Cuzzi did not have a good night tonight.
I was right field foul pole. Right field foul pole, like, you know, about – couple of rows back, cost me $12 to get in. You know what I mean? Not bad at all. I saw some Brewer fans. Ben Gamel, he threw some Brewer fans some balls after each inning. So I'll give it up to Ben Gamel, man. He was showing love to the few Brewer fans that are around. I think that counted about like maybe that I saw about maybe 20, 30, 40, you know, around.
That's not,
you know,
too bad. So, that's cool.
Not
I know
that at all.
Yeah, there's some people that went out there to catch all six of those games in the L.A. area.
Yeah, because I know y'all going to play the Dodgers, so I'll be rooting for the Brewers all day when y'all play against the Dodgers, man.
Damn,
Brewers all the way.
That's
keep your heads up, man. I mean, I'll get a little nervous at first, too. I feel the same way, but at the beginning of the year, just improve, man. Just improve. You know what you messed up on. This game, you guys could have won. I mean, Angels scored all those four runs earlier in the game. Y'all could have came back. You know what I mean?
Big time. Vincent, hey, man, always a pleasure. Thanks
hey,
for checking
hey,
in. From
Vincent, were there any fights or was
no,
everybody
no
singing
fights.
Kumbaya? Yeah.
I kept my head on a swivel a little bit looking around, and then I even walked through the bottom of the floor walking. You know, cause you can catch fights like in restrooms.
Well,
sometimes.
You should have started one then.
Who was he going to fight himself? He had an Angels jersey and a Brewer hat on.
I know, man. Everybody's looking at me. People are giving me weird looks too, man, because I was staring on the Angels. Yeah, I was cheering on the Brewers at the same time.
That is cool,
but, yeah,
though.
No
that is.
Fan, but hey, Brewer fans always welcome here. Most of the time, I even saw an Angel fan and Brewer fans getting along talking. But, you know, it was funny, man. It's just more. It's not L.A., man. It's not the Dodger Stadium. You know, you might see some fights there. But hey.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, you take it easy, Vincent. We'll talk soon. I know that.
I no problem, man. Keep y'all heads up, man. Y'all still in first place. Remember that.
All right. Take it easy. 8-5 after the loss here. That is pretty cool, actually, when you think about it. That dude right there. Always smiling. I know that. He's been calling for a few years. Always smiling. But he goes to the Angels-Brewers game with a Brewers hat and an Angels jersey. That's cool.
That is cool. Who, if you had to pick a second favorite baseball team, you know, a team that you like, that you root for, obviously you would root for the Brewers if they played each other. But if there was one team in Major League Baseball, Tim, that, you know, if you had a few too many tailgating, you could see yourself wearing their hat while you had your Brewers jersey on, could you even imagine it?
Yeah, no, I haven't told the story very often over the 14 years here, but I will. I'll be very transparent. In 2002... heading into that season, I was starting to lose my mind, and Sparky can attest to this. I was doing country radio at the time, but still, obviously, just following every pitch I could with Brewers baseball. It was the 20 years since the Brewers had made the playoffs, so
okay.
I drew a line in the sand, and I said, "By God, Brewers don't make the playoffs this year, I'm going to be a Diamondbacks fan."
Okay.
And so, and then, of course, you can't, I'm a big believer, you can't just flip that switch.
Right.
I mean, you could say it with some bravado and you're pissed and whatever. So I threatened to do that, and it obviously didn't happen. The other thing is, I've thought about that. If something were to ever happen to the Brewers, what would I do? And I'd have to lean on proximity would be very important, because I would want to be close to my team.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the closest in proximity are the Cubs, so that's out. So you just skip that. So it would be the White Sox. And it
really?
Would be it would be in large part based on proximity, because you'd want all the coverage.
you would want to hear the talk shows. You would want to, you know, watch each game on TV. You'd want to zip down there. It's an hour drive to get, you know, depending on traffic, hour or so drive down to the south side from my home. And so it would be the White Sox, despite the Brewers and White Sox being bitter rivals back
yeah.
in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the Brewers do lose tonight, 4-2. Are you a little bit nervous about what's going on? They've lost 4 of 5 after starting out 7-1. If this were to happen in the middle of the season, nah, you know, no one's going to freak out. You do recall the last time the Brewers were swept? Last time the Brewers were swept was last year, just prior to the All-Star break, in a 5-game series in Pittsburgh against the Pirates.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was sky was falling moment there.
Oh, the panic alarm was going off nonstop after that series.
It sure was. We'll take a break and come right back. The spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric. And this one is Brandon Woodruff. And I'll tell you why it was Brandon Woodruff. After he gives up 4 runs, he sets down the next 11 consecutive batters. That is a huge window of success for Brandon Woodruff. We got to take that out of one of these guys. So you've got Freddie Peralta in one of the 3 younger dudes going 8 innings of shutout ball. You've got Brandon Woodruff now that, yeah, he gets beat up on some weak contact a little bit in the third inning tonight, but then sets down 11. So you do have things to hang your hat on with 3 of these young dudes. So that's I'm going to call that the spark of the game. Brought to you by Current Electric, Brandon Woodruff, setting down the final 11 men that he faced. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, Nick Bodie, and a Brewers 4-2 loss to get swept. We'll be back on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's wrench and go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
4-2, the final. Brewers lose and get swept in LA against the Angels. Nasty, nasty series, man. I'm a little nervous. I am. Let's get to our drive of the game before we get into a little bit more of this thing. Drive of the game, we'll go with Christian Yelich in the 7th inning. What's interesting about this RBI base hit, first we'll hear it on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
And Yelich is a base hit into right field over the glove of LaStella. As Arcia is in, and the second RBI of the night for Christian Yelich.
Yep. There's the National League MVP as he knocks in both of the Brewers' runs in a 4-2 loss tonight. Highlight on Fox Sports Wisconsin, our wrench of the wrench and go drive of the game. That at bat was interesting because it was 8 consecutive off-speed pitches.
Yeah.
And during that at bat, I was just, you know, wondering how I would beat the Brewers if I were to pitch against them. And it would be a lot of that. It would just be off speed, especially when you had Phil Cuzzy having somewhat of a meltdown, if you will, in this. I don't know what game he was calling, but it didn't seem like it was baseball.
Yeah, he seemed to be watching an entirely different game from everybody else, the players, the managers, us. So, yeah, it was not his best day.
So that being said, when you look at this Brewers offensive lineup, now we're seeing now through 13 games at 8-5, we're seeing sort of a holding pattern with the way Craig Counsell is setting up his offensive lineup. We see that at the top, it's going to be Kane, Yelich, and Braun. For the most part. Now, Braun, again, had a hit. Maybe a little bit of a gift, but we'll give it to him.
Mm-hmm. He needs it.
He definitely needed it. After that, I don't know if... Well, I do know. I would probably think that if this continues, just say everything is about the way it is now for the next 13 games. You know, just do another 13-game schedule. If it continues the way it is, Craig Counsell has no choice. Here I go, talking about lineup again. He has no choice but to mess with the 4 through 7 or 8 hitters. Does. That's the way it's going to be. Because it's just offensively, there's something a little funky to this right now.
Yeah, there is. But, you know, besides moving Grandal up, you know, everybody else is struggling. And if you move Grandal up, then you've got basically 4 good hitters at the top. Well, 3.5 because Brawny, you know, he's hitting 227 right now. But you've got a decent top of the lineup, but the bottom of the lineup is just shot. You know, if you move Grandal up, basically you're looking 5 through 9 as, oh boy.
Zeus and maybe Shaw in there if you're going to jiggle things around. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're looking at a ton of guys hitting, you know, either below the Mendoza line or in the very low 200s.
No, but I think that the change would then light the fuse of a little more chemistry in that lineup. And then that's the big thing about a lineup. Sometimes, you know, you can't put your finger on why a team doesn't score runs. It's not that they're not, you know, hitting like they should. It's just that there's no gel to it. There's no flow to it. And it is important. And don't let any manager tell you that lineups don't matter. It's complete BS. It does matter. That's why they put Christian Yelich in the 2-hole and leave him alone. If it didn't matter, then bat him leadoff. Bat him third. Bat him fourth. Let him clean up. Put Ben Gamble at second. So it does matter, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I know it's an extreme example. But there are subtleties to a lineup. I'm a firm believer that a lineup needs to flow and gel. And this one, just there's again, it's early, 13 games, but there's just something about it that I think with a few tweaks might either, one, light a fuse under some of these guys just to get going, just to bump them a little bit. And then you can put them back where they go. And I'm not saying drastically, you know, put Shaw at 8. That's not what I'm saying, but adjust it a little bit. I think that might be coming too because, again, they're not scoring like they should. Mike Moustakas had a rough go against the Chicago Cubs, but he bounces back in a big way against the Angels. Grandal is just absolutely on fire.
Mm-hmm.
After starting out 0-16, Orlando Arcia then rattles off 9 of his next 20. So there's hope there. It's just that middle, I think it's Zeus, Thames, and Shaw. I think that's what we're talking about. Maybe if you move that around just a touch down the line, I think that could have some impact on the Brewers moving forward.
Yeah.
799-1250. Are you a little bit nervous here after losing 4 of 5?
Well, I agree with you, and especially of the part where any manager that says that lineups don't matter is full of it, because Craig Counsell himself, he was asked why Yelich, you know, doesn't, why he's batting second and not third. And Craig Counsell said, quote, every team's best hitter bats second. It, you know, the math works out where they're going to see more plate appearances.
They do.
And yes, everything like that. So that is why they bat second. Well, Craig, obviously, you're committed to having Yelich in the 2-hole because he's your best hitter. But if it doesn't matter, you know, then you should consider having him hit 7. So, true. You know, it
lineups
obviously
don't
matters.
Yeah, they all say it. I mean, Ned Yost told me years ago, and that's why I love the idea. And I don't know if there are numbers readily available, but he claimed at that time, it seems a little bit on the high side, but he claimed at that time to hit your pitcher 8th gives your 1, 2, and 3 hitter as many as 30 to 35 additional at-bats a year.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that – I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of ABs, but that's a nice chunk of at-bat. I would love to have 30 additional at-bats out of Christian Yelich.
Yes, sir.
In a given year.
Absolutely.
I mean, That's like an extra series. That's like an extra 5-6 games.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a lot bigger of a number than I was thinking. But, you know, I am a proponent of batting the pitcher eighth, especially when you got a guy like Lando. And, you know, yes, he's only hitting 243, which is
Dude
way
is
up.
Perfect for ninth. He is absolutely perfect for the nine hole.
Absolutely. You get Orlando Arcia, and then you flip to Lowe Kane, Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, and everybody else. Yes, please. Sign me up for that one.
You're missing out on RBI opportunities, in my opinion. Second, for sure, obviously, in the first inning, you don't have the RBI opportunities. But second and third time to the plate, I think Christian Yelich would bat with additional runners on base if the pitcher were to bat eighth.
I agree.
Yeah, 799-1250. Is it nervous time here for Brewers fans? 7-1 start, and then they lose 4 of their next 5, including getting swept by the Angels. And I don't really have a major problem in the sweep. It's just the way these games played out, and I guess I feel a little bit better knowing that it was a bunch of weak contact all series long for the Angels. That does make me feel a little bit better. I mean, they don't get the weak contact hits in abundance, the Angels. The Brewers win at least one of these games.
Oh,
we'd
have
all taken that. Hindsight being 20-20, we'd have taken the one win here. That would have been a big difference heading into L.A. Now you're trying to snap a losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough in L.A., guys, but I think maybe the adrenaline boost that they get because it is Dodger Stadium, because it is the NLCS rematch, if you will, because it's the two best teams in the NL going at it from last year, maybe that's what they need. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall here 4-2. Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I don't know if I'd correct too many things in this one.
But I probably
would have stayed with Zeus in this game. There's a guy you are depending on to get into it like he did last year. It took him a while to take that job from Thames. The injury, the thumb injury, helped, obviously, to take Eric's job away. But I stick with Zeus. You need to get him going. I think that maybe the one may have made the difference is a two-run ball game tonight. That, number one. And number two, maybe he flips the switch today and he gets rolling into L.A. against the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't have a problem with them sitting him today. I think this is a precursor to Travis Shaw getting a day or two off as well. But I would not sit Zeus for long. There's too much pop in that bat, especially when you have so many guys struggling, obviously, Zeus included. But there's just so much pop, and he can turn it around at any time. Like you said, you know, they just lost a two-run game. And he could have changed that with one swing.
Thames could have also, and I get that part of it, but I believe that what Zeus did last year was better than anything Thames did his first year here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah, Eric got on a roll and hit the home runs against Cincinnati. I know that, but a longer duration of time for Zeus. Hell, he was an all-star last year.
Yeah.
Dude hit 30-plus, knocked in 100-plus, was an all-star. He hit 300 plus for a good chunk of the season. There's a guy they've got to get going because there's more investment in Zeus than there is Eric Thames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Let me squeeze in Chase here before we hit a break here. 799-1250. Chase, are you nervous at all?
You know what, guys? I am a little nervous. It kind of feels like a little of that magic that you're waiting for. And we're all waiting for it, just never seemed to materialize. and left some guys on base and had a lot of loud outs. I mean, could you guys tell watching TV all those balls hit right to those jokers in outfield?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And it was the direct opposite for the Angels the entire series. Just weak contact hits.
I couldn't agree with you more at all. And then real fast, of course, like Vincent said, and I was looking for that cat with the whole, like, the shirt and the hat. I couldn't find him. But I was having my eyes on him, man. But I couldn't see him. But, you know, I want to give you guys a report, man. No fights. The Angel fans, they are a pretty classy bunch. Like Vincent said, they're not like Dodger fans. You're not driving through the ghetto to get to the stadium. It's a pretty classy area, and near Disney and all that. I'm at the hotel right now. Actually, I just got back. That's why I want to give you guys a call. But, hey, one more thing. I want to give a shout-out to Ed Cedar, the longtime coach of the Brewers. Not one, not two, but three balls he threw me to give to the three kids I was with.
That's awesome.
Is that right? That is
classy guy. And then also Josh Hader for coming over and taking pictures with us. Are you kidding me? That was a win in our book. He made three fans, three little kids fans for life, you know? So thank you to those guys. I really appreciated them.
That's wonderful.
They are both good dudes, and I can tell you I've known Eddie Cedar for many, many years. Long time. He's honestly, he's a couple of baseball throws away in terms of where he's from to where I'm from. And very close in proximity. And Josh Hader, one of my favorite guys. He is, and they're good guys. But it doesn't stop there though, Chase. Man, I think character is a big thing in this organization, and we saw the character kind of turn the corner about 5 years ago when this new regime kind of came in. 4 years ago. We know that character is a big thing here, and they're just good dudes, man. They are. I'm not surprised. I'm happy they did that for you, but it doesn't surprise me, Chase.
That's awesome to hear. And you know what? You guys are good dudes, too, and that's why I kind of gravitate towards you guys, and I'm not just giving you fluff. I mean, people feel it, and you guys are always positive, and I called you guys after the NLCS last year, and I was the guy that was talking about paying you guys for the free therapy and all that. Well, I really appreciate you guys keeping it positive 100% all the time. It really means a lot to us fans. Even after a loss, you know, you guys are – it is worth listening to. I tune in to listen to you guys and talk to you guys because it's as fun as the game for me, truly.
Yeah. Chase, what are you doing in California? Now, you said you – are you from here or you live there?
No. Okay, so my mom, she's from Milwaukee. She couldn't take the cold, so 20 years – old when she was, and she's 60 something now, but 20 years old, she headed to California, and she started up an Italian food, a little restaurant, a little pizzeria, you know, because Italian food's nice. So good in the Midwest, you know. So then I was born out here, but she wanted to make sure that I kept in contact with my family, so I've been traveling back, you know, every year of my life since I was a little kid. And I realized at a young age, if I want to have any sort of relationship with my cousins, I better be a Brewer, Badger, and Buck fan, you know? So I just went all Wisconsin sports, and I've been a huge fanatic ever since.
That's
nice.
Great.
And you brought some kids to the game tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, the girlfriend's got three kids, man, and it was so cool that those guys cared enough to come on over and throw us balls and take pictures. I mean, it blew me away. I went to spring training earlier in the year, too, and it's almost like we got enough as much autographs as we did before this game that we did in spring training. It just blew me away.
That's
I'll tell
awesome.
You, if our paths cross, man, make sure that we get a chance to meet. All right, Chase?
I would love that, honestly. I would love that.
Very good. All right, take it easy. I know we'll talk to you throughout the year.
You will. Thank you. Love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. It doesn't surprise me with these guys. It doesn't surprise me that they're super fan friendly.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to sit there and pick guys in that clubhouse that you don't like, because it is a likable bunch. They are so easy to root for. You know, obviously Eddie Cedar, you know, that guy's awesome. But you know, Josh Hader, that, you know, that's just great. And, you know, you don't hear as many stories like that anymore that you used to, and you really should. You know, I'm sure Josh Hader took what, 2 minutes out of his day?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could hear it in Chase's voice. You know, his kids are going to be smiling with, you know, for a week, running to school. And, you know, nobody will care in L.A. but about them meeting a Brewers player. But, you know, it's just so awesome. That's awesome. Great, great stuff.
Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll come back. I will say this on two fronts, that number one, I'm not super all happy, positive all the time.
90%.
I do get upset. It was starting to get to me in this game here. It's like you want that hit, and we saw it all of last, well, not all of last year, but a good chunk of last year and early this year, that one of our callers said, where's the magic? I think it was Chase there. So we just keep waiting for the magic, and it's like, man, where is it? And then it starts grinding on you, and then you got to pull yourself. So I do get upset. And I will get upset later on this year. I'm sure there'll be an incident or something will happen, number one. And number two, about the great character guys in the clubhouse and in this organization, it hasn't always been to the point where I don't think there's anybody on this roster right now, let me rephrase, that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
However, there has been some in this organization, and it wasn't really that long ago, that I didn't like at all. Just as a person, as like, would we get along? Would we have beers? Hell no. I'm not going to name names. I'm just telling you.
Of course. But, you know, with the amount of people in the clubhouse and for as many years as you have done this show, been around this organization, the amount of players that have come and gone, you know, I'm sure you could count on one hand or two hands the amount of people that fall into that category. That is awesome. That is not a large number.
Yeah, no. There hasn't been many where everybody works. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody has people that, you know, Linda down in sales, or, you know, Joe over in, shipping and receiving. These guys are just jerks. We don't get along. We never did. And most of the time, we can't even tell where it started. Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. I'm going to put, and I know it sounds funky, 6 innings, 4 runs given up. I'm going to put Brandon Woodruff into, that's kind of rolling a little bit more hot side of things. I'll take that. The Who's Not, a rough start to the campaign for one Travis Shaw. He gets his third base position back. I feel bad for the dude. I do. But he scuffles out of the chute here offensively. I thought he was seeing the ball a little bit better. Funny, he makes comments yesterday that I'm just not seeing the ball. I'm just not picking up the spin. And a week ago, I'm like, wow, Travis Shaw seems like he's seeing the ball pretty well. Now he gets hit on the hand. It's day-to-day, a contusion. He did get x-rays. Those are negative, but there's Who's Hot, Who's Not with Bayview Shade and Blind. Brewers fall 4-2 final. We'll see what Craig Counsell has to say next. You're on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
4-2 final. Brewers lose and get swept in L.A. against the Angels. That sucks. I mean, it just does. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell in just a bit. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tickets still available for Saturday night at the Admirals game. The Brewers have some cash, apparently. Forbes came out with what these baseball franchises are worth these days. And we'll get to the numbers here in just a second. You just heard it. Nick Bodie's update there. They're over $1 billion.
Yeah, it's got them listed at $1.175 billion, a 14% increase from last season.
Yeah, the 1.175, the 175 part, $175 million. That's about 45 million shy of what he paid for the team.
Well, now we're talking Tim Allen kind of money.
He paid roughly $220-ish million. For this baseball team. And now it's $1.175 billion. Maybe over the weekend we'll get to that conversation. Certainly, for sure, next week we'll get to that conversation. And it herein lies the question. $122 million payroll in 2019. Should it be more based on the numbers right there that the organization is worth? Should it be more than $122 million? I'm not saying either way quite yet, but I'm just throwing it out there that, you know, it's not my money. I would love the payroll to be, you know, at the tax threshold of 200 and whatever that is, 60, 70 million. I would love that payroll. Can you imagine that payroll flexed in with these teams?
Oh.
Or with these players?
You know, but the thing is that once you have, like, a deluge of money like that, you're more likely to take risks, you're more likely to sign bad contracts, and you're more likely not to compete. You know, the Cubs, look at what they did last year. You know, they tied for the NL Central lead, lose game 163, get knocked out in the wild card game. And the Brewers go one game short of the World Series. It says in this article that not only was it was a 14% increase in overall value from last season, you know, chalk that up to the NLCS and everything like that. Only seven teams in the MLB made more profit than the Brewers. Okay. But the Brewers are the second highest team. They earn $111 per fan that shows up at their ballpark. Now, we all know how...
Is that per year? Or is that per game?
That's got to be per game.
I'm a cheapskate, so they don't get $100 out of me every game.
When I was younger and used to partake a lot more than nowadays, you know, every game it was $100 in beer, but you know, that doesn't count tickets and parking and everything like that
and food and
yeah
and then a $90 sweatshirt and
but you
yeah.
know this is it's based on what they spend at the ballpark and the local media contract revenues. Which we all know, because it was been reported, how little the Brewers get from Fox yeah. Sports Wisconsin. So that is mostly money being spent at the park, and they are second in all of MLB.
And we continue to go out there because we love the team. And I don't mind spending some money for something I love to do. I think it's a healthy kind of hobby. It's a love affair. It's a lot of things. So we'll try and get that in over the weekend. Certainly next week we'll delve into some money conversations as well. Right now, let's hear what Craig Counsell has to say. He's got to be fairly pleased with Woodruff's outing, retiring 11 of his last men that he faced, and just giving up that one rough inning there that cost him the ball game. I shouldn't say that. I don't think Woodruff cost him the ball game. You got to average more than two runs a game to win baseball games. Well, let's hear from manager Craig Counsell.
It's just one inning with, you know, a couple mistakes back to back, and you know that's four runs on the board.
I'm sorry, I meant to say Mike made a really good play on Wilson's ball.
That was really the top of the order in that inning. That, you know, those four guys squared up, and Board didn't really square it up, but he fell behind on him. That let him kind of sit on fastball. So, and that was it. You know, that was it. That's all he really gave up, and he was really, really effective besides that.
When you look at all of his starts so far, are you pretty happy with the way he's throwing the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's given up more runs than he'd like, for sure. I think there's been some good signs. The big inning has got him right now. He's gotten bit by the big inning. So we just got to... You know, when a leadoff hitter gets on or what, you know, it starts to get a little haywire a little bit, we got to still make pitches. And, you know, he got, the, you know, like you said, Moose's play that inning, you know, really saved the bigger inning probably.
But other than Yelly's two hits, it was kind of a quiet night for the offense.
Yeah, well, Lowe had a good night. I thought he swung the bat very well. But, yeah, I mean, we, you know, we had opportunities kind of in the third, fourth, and fifth, and you know, multiple guys on base. You know, but you know, it's the other six innings, there wasn't much going on.
That kind of qualifies effectively wild from their guy.
Well, you know, it was just a bunch of sliders, you know, from their first two guys. You know, really, they're you know, a bunch of sliders, and we just, I guess that would be a good description. You know, we had guys on base, but then couldn't get the next hit.
Were there a lot of change-ups in there, too?
Yeah, the first guy, Pena threw some, Pena definitely had some change-ups, yeah.
Any word on Travis? Feel fortunate that it was negative?
No, I think, yeah, x-ray's negative. It's just day-to-day. He's a little sore right now.
Where'd the ball
get
him exactly?
Right hand, right throwing hand, kind of on the back of the hand.
Isn't that the same spot he got hit in that first series against St. Louis?
Not the same spot, no. No. I mean, probably close, but I don't think exactly, yeah.
Is that just a growing pain thing with a young pitcher, Craig? Because, you know, before that inning he was great, and after that inning he was great.
I'm not going to chalk that up to a growing pain necessarily. He didn't make pitches for an inning, and the major league hitters made him pay for it. You know, and those are the hitters that you're going to have in their lineup that you got less room for error with, the top of their order, obviously. And you know, the pitch to Calhoun and Simmons and Pujols slider is a strike slider. They're just, you know, pitches that they can handle.
All right, there he is, Craig Counsell. I'm not sure I agree with Craig on that one. I think it is growing pains. When you Haudricourt, I think he was the one that asked the question there. Is that growing pains when you're good before a big inning and then you're really good after the big inning? Is that a growing pain thing? At this point for Brandon Woodruff, the answer would be more yes than no.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Everybody, even veterans, do have a clunker of an inning. I get that part of it. But for right now, because he's young and because it's been an issue, you have to think that it's just because he's young. Most veterans, it happens once in a while, but man, when they're on, they're on. They're a tough customer. They're tough to beat. Woody is that way, except for the victimized by the big inning. I'm not sure I agree with Craig on that one. Who got lit up in this one? Is brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day, online at Heiser.com. Yeah, I'll give it to Brandon Woodruff just for the third inning. Hit by pitch, walk, single, 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 double play, ground ball to score a run, and then a strikeout. That's kind of getting lit up in that one inning. So I'll have to go there. But outside of that, man, kid was dynamite. He was. He's got good stuff, and he's got high velocity. Yeah, you utilize those pitches in the right way, man. It's going to be fun to watch a guy like Brandon Woodruff for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll take a break and come back. A couple of minutes left here if you want to join us. Halfway through this West Coast swing, and I don't care, as we've been saying the entire series, doesn't matter what time the game's at. We're always here. Talking Brewers baseball. Babe Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Allis. Postgame studios, Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, Nick Bodie hanging out, and a Brewers 4-2 loss.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Four-two final. Brewers lose this final game of the series. They get swept against the Angels. That's tough, man. That's you know, after the excitement of going 7-1, and then you lose four of the next five. You go 8-2 in your first three series. And then he gets swept by the Angels. They're going to have to bounce back here, and a series victory against the Dodgers would be really good. Are you kidding me? Moment brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Are you kidding me? Is the strike zone for Phil Cuzzi, the home plate umpire tonight. He was getting into it with members inside the Brewers dugout. He then got into it with the Angels catcher, Kevin Smith, and then he was thrown out of the game. I thought for a second there they were going to get both of their catchers thrown out. I thought for a second there Lucroy was going to get thrown out as well, but that wasn't the case. Umpiring in this one was not good. It wasn't good. I'm not a big fan of trying to figure out an umpire's strike zone. Now, do you remember what I'm saying here? An umpire's strike zone. Uh-uh. It's the rule book strike zone. Can we just go with that?
You know, we talked about it. I like the human element.
I get that part of it. I get having a human make those calls.
You know, it's just with as bad as the strike zones and the umpiring in general has been, there are way too many plays that go to replay. Half the plays that do go to replay, they make the wrong call on the replay. It's just it's going to eventually go to the electronic strike zone, I have a feeling, and I sure hope that doesn't happen.
I think it'll take a few years, though, to get there.
Yeah, you know, I don't like it. I'm an old get-off-my-lawn kind of guy. I don't like the game changing and all that, and it's going to change. And you know, the more games you get like this, it makes you shake your head because it was way off. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. There was some missed calls, man. It's crazy. When I say years to get to the electronic strike zone, it could be 5 years, it could be 15 years, but I do think it's coming.
Yeah, eventually it'll be there. Eventually, it'll be there.
Even a couple of decades. I don't know, but I just still believe that the ball strike calls, they do a decent job when you look at the number of pitches that are thrown in all of a season, all of a series, all of a game. I still think it should be a little bit better, but they do a good job overall. I mean, they get. I think it's safe to say the majority of the calls are right, ball strike calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you face a you're watching this game tonight, and I don't know, you know, the Thames strike, I don't understand, how do you possibly call that a strike?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know if you caught that pitch, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did.
I mean, the ball was probably 3 inches off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nowhere near. And I know. It was awful. It was a horrible, horribly umpired and called game. And
I understand the missed call where it's, you know, an inch or two outside, maybe an inch or two up or down. But, like, in and low, it's that far off the plate. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that that's why the Brewers lost today. We're just talking about ball strike calls. I don't, did he get something in his eye? Did he? No, I'm trying to figure it out. How do you miss a call that's that egregious?
I know. But, you know, there were some calls, I want to say it was yesterday. You know, the funny thing is that there are calls where, you know, say the catcher lines up low and in, and the ball just completely misses where he's aiming, and it could be, you know, belt high and on the outside corner. Because the pitcher missed his spot by that much,
it's
90% of the time it's a ball, even if it's a strike.
It's BS, though. I mean, who cares what the catcher could do a dance back there? I don't care. It's where the ball crosses the plate.
Well, and again, with all the talk of pace of play, quote unquote, get the damn strike zone right and the games will speed up.
Yeah, I just, it's magnified, I think, in games like this. But again, I default to the bigger number, and the bigger number is that they do get, the vast majority of calls right. They really do. The problem is the study that just came out is that where there's some issues, where there are issues is predominantly on two strike counts, to where now it's the entire at bat is going to, the end result is going to be affected. Whereas before, you can still battle back. Now, there's a huge difference in a 1-1 pitch to going 2-1 to 1-2.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Huge, huge, huge. I don't know if a lot of casual baseball fans understand the difference in a 2-1 count versus a 1-2 count.
Well, because, you know, you can even look at the analytical numbers and, a hitter's batting average is so much different when he's hitting 1-2 than 2-1.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so the whole complexion of the at-bat is changed a little bit. But when the outcome is on the bad call, meaning strikeout or walk, that's where it gets tough. Those are the ones you want right. Okay, it does get impacted on the 2-1, 1-2. But the outcome, man, whoa, get that one. If you're gonna miss one, miss it mid-count. Don't miss it at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's going to do it. This is a rough one here, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us and staying up late. We're always going to be here after the last pitch as you make the switch. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios. Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, Nick Bode. Whether you're listening, you know, live now or if it's a situation where you've downloaded the podcast and it's now Thursday morning, you're starting to heal up a little bit. Hopefully we help that a little. Brewers have lost four of their last five after starting out 7-1. After starting out 8-2, they now find themselves 8-5. Would you tell me, just a half game up in the Central?
Yeah, and Pittsburgh and St. Louis, they both won today, so we're down to a half game lead.
Well, I'll leave you with a little bonus. I mean, the Cubs did lose today.
Yes, they did.
So, that's a little kicker. We can be a little positive. A tough series begins Friday, and that's an understatement. Brewers at Dodger Stadium facing the L.A. Dodgers for a three-game set. And we're going to be talking about it all weekend long, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe it's what the Brewers need, the big, big, big-time challenge. You guys have a great night. And remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.